Well, Fezzarama is my little side project I do with Joe Cash, my partner, and we're making fezzes. It started out as just a way to be creative and have some creative outlet and just have some fun. I was kind of surprised the level of response that we're getting. We're actually getting more orders than I can handle at the moment.
When did you start?
Well, the full-blown background, the idea for Fezzarama started like 90, I think, around 90, 91. Going to Cal State Long Beach, going to school there, having lunch with my friend Eric, and we were just brainstorming random ideas. And one of them was to I was always interested in making hats, and one of the ideas was to make fezzes for all of our friends. So we kind of just sketched up a bunch of different ideas for a specific fez for each of our friends. And I thought about forming a business, and that's when we first came up with the name Fezzarama and selling it. And I'd always been interested in graphic design and clothing design and stuff like that. So it just seemed like a fun little outlet. At the time, I couldn't quite figure out exactly how I wanted to make the fezzes. A traditional fez is blocked. It's a wool felt that's stretched over a block, and not terribly comfortable hats. And getting blocks and working with the chemicals involved, I used to do a lot of blocked hats. And if I was going to do block hats again, I'd like to do top hats or something more formed than just a simple bucket. So I wasn't really interested in doing the felt aspect. And I always thought, there must be a way to do it out of fabric. And I just didn't quite get the idea how I'd want to do it for a couple of years. And it just sort of sat on the back burner for a long time. Eventually, I was making when I was going to design school, I was making a cloak, a big robe for one of our friends, and I had quilted all of the sleeve fabric and noticed that it stood up nice, had about the body that I was looking for, and thought, wow, this could actually work for making a fez. And again, that sat on the back burner for a couple more years. Eventually, in 98, I was diagnosed with cancer. That went through treatments, and then after that, I was pretty much just sort of unemployed survivor at the time. And for Christmas, I liked to make Christmas presents for all my friends. And 99, I believe, I made fezzes. Finally, made fezzes for that core group of friends I originally designed them for, and that was the starting point of the Cult of the Eye fez.
Ah, well, I will come back to the Cult of the Eye in a few minutes because I have some specific questions about that. But so is fez mongering your day job now?
No, it's not. It's at that awkward stage where it's a hobby that's starting to eat up more time and needs more attention. So my day job currently, I've got a couple of them. I teach fashion design. I teach computer pattern making classes. My other sideline is I write textbooks for fashion design classes. So I've got one done on pattern grading, a second one on pattern draping, and I'm about to start the large one, which will be on general pattern drafting. And
this is I'm glad to know this because I was thinking to myself, how is it that just some geeky web guy like me happens to know how to make these really good fezzes? It clarifies it to know that you are a professional.
Yeah, well, the fez actually is not a terribly challenging pattern, and the first ones that I made weren't terribly evolved because it's just simple geometry. It's a cone with the top knocked off of it. But as I developed and studied and all that kind of stuff, I started getting the little nuances of finesse in the patterns to tweak them. And I'm always trying to, get them the patterns a little bit better, even on something so simple of a form when you're dealing with different types of fabrics and, different situations. There's always a little bit of finesse. So, I'm one of those artists who's just never satisfied with my own work. So I'm constantly looking. I'm going, I could make that a little bit better.
Well, I would tell anybody who has bought one of the cheap blocked fezzes at some costume shop that until they have put one of your quilted sort of soft, I think of it as a soft fez on, they can't imagine how comfortable a fez can be. I wear mine every day now just around the office and when I go out into, like I would wear any kind of hat. I mean, it keeps my head warm. It's comfortable. It's an amazing thing.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, that was always kind of the issue was, for me, I love hats, and I have a pile of hats. The challenge for blocked hats, the firm felt hats, is they're blocked to a generic oval shape, and my head's not oval shaped.
Yeah, me either.
You know, so any hat, I'd have to either buy a hat that's too large for my head to keep it from pressing into my forehead, or it needs to be fairly soft and something that I can stretch, or, you know, have to stretch the hat myself. I have some felt hats, and after a while, once they're broken in, they're comfortable. But in the beginning, they were always kind of, you know, struggle to wear. And that's why I like the quilted aspect of it, is, you know, it's a comfy hat. It's a little bit closer to like a smoking cap in its, you know, fit.
Is there such a thing as a typical Fez customer? For you, for Fezzarama, I mean.
For us, it's kind of interesting because we started the way we actually started Fezzarama. I had been doing the Fezzes for the Cult of the Eye for a while, and people would ask, "Hey, can I get one of those?" And I'm like, "No, these are, you know, just made for my friends, and it's part of our group." And I kind of turned down doing Fezzes for other people. Then we went to Tiki Oasis in Southern California, Otto von Stroheim's Tiki event. Great event. Anyway, I stumbled across it on the internet, and I think it was like the third year they had it. We went, and it was just myself, my wife, and very good friend Troy. Just went for fun, but we were wearing our fezzes there, and a few people commented on the fezzes and looked around at the event. I thought, oh, this would be really cool to be a vendor here to sell art and show our stuff, because we're all creative types. My wife paints. Troy's a fantastic designer, architectural design stuff. And so the next year we wanted to have a booth, and booths are really cheap. It was, you know, great way to hang out. My wife, we don't drink, so the late night parties aren't really our thing. I like, you know, the bands and all that kind of stuff. So we were having a great time there, and we brought out a bunch of our artwork and just little knick-knack stuff that we designed, and we were wearing the fezzes, but we weren't selling the fezzes, and we kept getting asked, how much for the fezzes? And I had to keep saying, these are for our group. We don't sell them. So the next year I decided, okay, I'm going to make a small batch of fezzes and see if people respond to them. And I made the first three fez designs for retail, which was the shrunken head design. I had the wooden tiki mask design. And I think the drunken monkey was the third one from the first year. Maybe he was second year. I think I remember another tiki one. Anyway, just a handful of them, like 25, 30 fezzes, I think, maybe 40. And they sold out at the event. And that first year we had Cult of the Eye tags inside them because we were just sort of the Cult of the Eye group was putting on the booth. And that's when I kind of realized that, if I'm going to keep doing more of these, I need to form it into a business. I don't want it to be just sort of ad hoc hobby kind of thing. So the next year we started thinking about forming Fezzarama. So that started through the Tiki crowd. And, they sold well through the Tiki crowd. And that's kind of what started us rolling was the retro Tiki scene. I haven't quite gotten to the point where I could say I can nail down exactly who our customer is.
Do you have any celebrity clients that you could talk about?
I have a number of people in the tiki scene, in the burlesque scene, a number of stage performers that have shown interest. A lot of private orders, groups that want us to do collections for them, some toy companies. Haven't done it yet. I just got a contact from a music company. A couple of bands that have wanted us to do stuff. The challenging thing where I'm at now, since it's not my primary means, we're working on building it up into a full-blown company, is just sourcing material. And that's the big challenge that I'm at right now, is that I want to get a better selection of velvets. And a lot of the stuff that I've done, I'll find random end cuts of velvet. I'll have a couple yards of it that I'll buy out and make a small batch of fezzes, but I can't repeat that fabric because I can't necessarily track that fabric back down again. So I've got like one or two fabrics that are easy, you know, relatively easy for me to get my hands on, but they're not my, you know, not the fabrics that I'm trying to find.
Is this a competitive field? Are there others who make fezzes?
There are other companies that make fezzes, mostly the blocked felt types, and they're making them for the Masons, the, you know, the Shriners. They'll do private orders. I just got an email recently from someone who's interested, who had already ordered fezzes in the past for his group from another company, but they have a 72-unit minimum order. And I've worked with embroidery. I've worked with screen printing for T-shirts and whatnot in the past. And that was one thing that always frustrated me, was the minimums, you know, having to order 200 shirts. And at one point, I actually had my own silkscreen press, just because I didn't want to have to deal with minimums. And if I wanted to print, you know, six shirts, I could just print six shirts and not have, you know, answer to somebody else on that.
It sounds like you have designed a lot of fezzes since you started this. A series of questions, and you can tackle them in any order you want. Do you have a favorite, either, or a least favorite for that matter? And has there ever been somebody who wanted you to design a fez that you just didn't want to design that? You objected to it for some reason?
On the favorite or least favorite one, that's kind of a strange situation for me. Like I said, I'm the kind of artist that's never satisfied. So it tends to be my favorite fez is the one I'm just about to get to. You know, I have a pile of designs that I want to get to that I just, you know, haven't had the time to work up, or haven't quite solved, you know, the color aspect of it, or there's something that's in my way. And those always tend to be the ones I'm most excited about. Once I create them, then, you know, once they become a fixed thing, then I get stuck on focusing on the flaws. So, of my favorite designs, it changes day to day for me. Of my least favorite designs, this is kind of a funny thing. One of our most popular designs is the Drunken Monkey. And for some strange reason, I don't relate to that design as well as our, you know, a lot of our customers do. And that comes from a realization when I was designing stuff for the tiki vending. I realized that what I like and what other people like may not be the same thing. And I have a habit of designing stuff that I'll look at it later and I don't even understand where it came from. And there's designs where I put it in my sketchbook and I'll look at them and go, oh, this is horrible. And my wife will go, that's my favorite design in your book. So I've learned to distrust my taste and design things and just sort of follow them through and then put them out there and see how people respond. And a lot of times it's totally the opposite of my opinion. So, I mean, personally, the ones that mean the most to me obviously would be the Cult of the Eye-Fez. You know, that one I'm really fond of. The Order of the Fez took a while for me to kind of nail down. I had a concept in my head of what I wanted out of it, but I just couldn't, you know, every time I'd build something up and try it, it just didn't quite have the look that I was going for. So, you know, my favorite fez is always
the next one.
Out of reach.
Have you ever spotted one of your fezes in the wild, perhaps being walking down the street and look at it and go, hey, that's one of mine?
Yeah, I have actually. There's been a couple of events I've been at where it's kind of funny. Catalina Island out here on the coast has an event, the Avalon Ball. They've got this incredible it's called the Casino on Catalina Island, not a gambling casino, the casino in the classic sense, a gathering place. And it's got a huge circular dance floor, and it's a gorgeous place. And my wife and I are actually married there. And every year they have the Avalon Ball, and it's a big dress-up affair. Great band plays, and it's all ballroom dancing and swing dancing. And we were there this last year. We're walking out to the casino, and there was a guy about 15 feet in front of us walking along wearing one of our fezzes. So every once in a while I'll run across somebody at like a tiki event or, you know, at a burlesque or retro kind of thing, and they're wearing one of my fezzes. And I've seen photographs of people in my fezzes, and it's always, I mean, that's the most exciting thing for me, is just to see people enjoying them.
You've mentioned the Cult of the Eye a couple of times, and so obviously there's no strict prohibition against you talking about it. Can you tell us a little bit about the Cult of the Eye?
The Cult of the Eye is a secret society that I belong to.
Not anymore.
Yeah, well, the secret aspect of it, we're not very good at, so you can go to cultoftheeye.com and learn, you know, a little bit more about it. But yeah, it's a group of artists and designers and performers and creative types. And our concept of creative type goes well beyond the fine arts. We've got computer programmers, office managers, you know, there's a lot involved in being creative. And the idea is that working as a team, we can create things and accomplish things that we can't do solo. And it's a lot of individuals. And they're the kind of people who wouldn't necessarily join a fraternity or, you know, normally think of joining a group like that. So we're kind of going against our own natures in working it out.
Well, we in the Order of the Fez think of ourselves as like a AA minor league team, and the Cult of the Eye is the New York Yankees.
Well, that's style is kind of our focus. And it's a design challenge for us, is to, you know, keep honing our skills and keep us sharp. So when we do stuff, we tend to try to overdo them as best to our ability. So that's an honor, honestly. One of the reasons why I started – there's two core reasons why I started Fezzorama beyond being able to sell Fezzes and pay taxes for it. There were two areas that I knew – that were being underserved. One were bands. We were always being accused of being a band whenever we showed up with Fezzes. If we went bowling in our Fezzes, people would come up to us and accuse us of being in a band. In fact, that's where our first website came from. We were leaving the bowling alley for a friend's birthday, and the booking agent for the venue ran up to us and basically said, "Are you guys playing soon?" And one of the guys said, "Oh, yeah, we've got a website. Just go to cultoftheeye.com. We play all the time." And, of course, we don't play all the time, and we didn't have a website when he said this. So we went home and had to put up a website. So part of it was to be able to support bands. And, you know, we've got a couple of bands that own, you know, or some of our Fezzes on stage. And we're working on doing some Fezzes specifically for bands.
I have a question about Joe, your partner. Specifically, mm-hmm. Is Joe real, or is he a figment of your imagination, like Tyler Durden in Fight Club?
No, Joe's a real person. Joe is the person I depend on to actually get the real work done.
See, just like in Fight Club.
Yeah, exactly. He's the, I guess you could say, aside from the fact that we actually show up in the same places, and other people do see us. Otherwise, it's pretty dead on. We tend to yell at each other a lot. We're both pretty snippy with each other. But he's the one with the actual business experience. He's the one knows how to fill out forms correctly. I've got this allergic reaction to paperwork that is really detrimental to my lifestyle. But, yeah, he's the one that takes care of all of the day-to-day, you know, shipping, the business aspect of it, dealing with the customers, making sure I'm on top of stuff. I'm the flighty, creative type that, gets into a mood and doesn't want to answer emails for a week on end or something.
So maybe we can paraphrase that famous line in the movie, "How much can you know about yourself if you've never worn a fez?"
There you go.
Speaking of Fight Club, have you ever had to physically or vocally defend your right to wear a fez in public? Has somebody ever come up to you and given you any grief about wearing a fez?
Not to me, but we've had some interesting incidents with other members that have had fez, you know, have been out in public having fezes on. Troy is probably wears the fez of my group of friends. He's the one that wears it the most. I'm not always wearing it. I have to, because I'm a cancer survivor, I have to keep the sun off my neck. So if it's sunny outside, I'm usually wearing something with a brim on it, just to keep, you know, the sun off. So I'm not as, you know, out there as much as Troy is. He's the hardcore person. And he's had some interesting experiences wearing a fez. The best was when we were on Catalina Island. Again, we were there for our wedding, and Troy was walking around. He'd gone up to look at some of the historic architecture. And he got approached by just some other tourists and asked him what the Fez was about. And he made some, you know, snide comment about, oh, yeah, we're a cult and we're looking, you know, to start our new base here on the island. and just laughed it off and walked away. And as he was hiking down the hill from on the island, the rangers showed up to have a little chat with him. Because apparently somebody had implied that there were terrorist activities happening on the island.
Talk about your need to avoid the sun. It just occurred to me that had you designed sombreros, you and I would never have met.
That's true. I enjoy making the fezes, and I like what they represent. They're a party hat, and I'm basically trying to elevate a party hat into a little bit classier design. You know, like make a high-quality party hat, really. That concept really entertains me. And like I said earlier, I don't drink, so I'm not necessarily, you know, fit into the same demographic as a lot of people who you know, buy and wear our fezes. But there's something about, you know, about the personality of it that just fascinates me.
Speaking of that, there seems to me to be some mystical kind of connection between fezes and ukuleles. Have you observed this, and can you explain it?
I have some theories on it, since I am a struggling ukulele player, and I'm sitting in a room with about a dozen ukuleles. There, I think it has to do with a sense of humor, is my theory. That the ukulele is derided often as a toy instrument, which many say is the appeal of the ukulele, that it's actually fun to play, as opposed to, you know, being something that's more classically trained and requires, you know, more attention to detail. I see it as a sense of humor. It's a hat for people who aren't afraid to laugh at themselves, and a lot of ukulele players enjoy laughing at themselves. So it just does kind of seem to go hand in hand. Also, they both come from the same era. A lot of people I've actually been accosted at tiki events. You know, why are you wearing a fez? What does a fez have to do with tiki? And I have to explain to people that these two things kind of entered the American culture, the subcultures, at the same era. That, if you think back to the Shriners in the middle of the 20th century, they were, you know, kind of at their heyday. Not that they're gone by any means, but, you know, that's kind of how when they really imprinted on society. And at that same time, the tiki exotica scene was being, you know, kind of imprinted, at that same era. And the younger generations, my generation, looks back on that with this kind of blurred nostalgia, and we don't see a separation between exotica and tiki and, you know, the Shriners. It all kind of gets blurred together.
Since you are a fashion professional, is there a right way and a wrong way to wear a fez?
I'd say the only requirement to wearing a fez is make sure it's pointing forward. The embroidery needs to be, you know, on the front. Since they're circular, you don't feel it, so you don't want your design to be askew. As far as having it on a rakish tilt, some people can pull it off really well. Just depends on the shape of your head, I guess.
Wait a second. Hold on just a second. Rakishtilt.com.
My big issue with wearing a fez, and it's one of those things when you're going out, is I think a fez needs to be dressed up for. You know, there are photographs of me wearing a fez and a t-shirt. In fact, I have a t-shirt and a fez on right now, keep my head warm. But when I'm out and about, I always look back at the photographs and go, I really wish I had a tie on at that point.
You give the option of setting the length of tassel. Is that just a matter of personal taste, or is there what's the proper protocol for tassel length?
In the beginning, I was setting the tassels. You know, I went with the idea that I didn't have to stitch them down, or they didn't have to be, you know, permanently attached to the fez. I like the idea that they could be replaced if they get damaged, or if you just wanted to change the color, you had a different mood. In the beginning, we were just tying knots in the end of the cord, and I like the tassel to be just barely below the edge of the fez. I can kind of feel where the tassel is as it brushes across my ear, but it's not smacking me in the side of the face. Other people like to pull it up so that the knot is just at the top of the top corner of the fez. If you look at the classic Shriner's tassels, those are much, much longer tassels. And those are sewn to the fez to keep it kind of in place so it doesn't drift around. And I never liked that. It always seemed to me that if it's a tassel, it should be swinging free. That to have them stitched down or anchored was almost false in my warped sense. that, you know, it lost a function. I don't know if the tassel's function is to keep flies off your face in the desert, but I always kind of thought that, you know, you should be able to spin your tassel whenever you feel like it.
You know, a couple of our members have fezzes with tassels that, like, hang to their shoulders or their waist or something, and that can't be comfortable.
That's kind of my thought. We have a couple members in the Cult of the Eye who have replaced their tassels with much longer tassels, and they have it hanging down to their shoulder. I switched over to the adjustable clip on ours because I found there are occasions where I wanted to shorten it to get it out of the way on my own, and I didn't like to have to keep untying the knot and tying the knot. And when you tie the knot, it, you know, bends the cording and it kind of distorts the cording so you can tell where the knot was tied. So we went to an adjustable clip on the inside and made it really quick and easy to kind of change out the tassels and adjust the length on them.
Yeah, that's very handy because what I do is I completely retract the tassel when I'm having sex.
That's probably for the best. There's one thing that's always kind of interested me. A lot of the fez enthusiasts I've seen have always been a subculture to another culture. So like you mentioned earlier, the ukulele, and of course there's a lot of crossover between tiki and ukulele. But, you know, ukulele players enjoying fezzes, tiki enthusiasts with fezzes, burlesque enthusiasts wearing fezzes. And I've always kind of – I've been curious to think, is there a fez culture? Could you define fezzes as a culture, or could you create a fez culture based on an enthusiasm for fez? So that's one of the things I've always kind of been looking at is, you know, if we could throw a big party for fez enthusiasts – would they come?